Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who joins us by phone from New York City. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And a reminder at the top of the show, we're sponsored today by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without the expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe Home Security. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. Jim, we were hoping that we wouldn't have all crazies again to start the week, but hey, crazy, crazy, crazy it is. And let's start with news we got over the weekend of Donald Trump accepting a phone call from the president of Taiwan and having a conversation. This has apparently broken the most sacred protocol in the history of mankind. Here's Ben Shapiro over at the Daily Wire talking about it. On Friday, Donald Trump made the supposedly crucial error of holding a phone call with the president of Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen. Since 1979, the United States has held a policy of studied neutrality with regard to the question of Taiwanese independence. We've agreed in principle with the one China rhetoric that the communist Chinese espoused, but fiercely prevented China from aggressive action against Taiwan. Trump's phone call with Taiwan was supposedly therefore a breach of both decorum and policy expertise, a truly frightening situation. Next paragraph, that's idiotic. You've got the Chinese lodging almost a formal complaint. You've got people in the left, whether it's media or diplomacy circles, saying this just shows Trump is completely out of his element. He's not up to the job. He can't do this. And Ben Shapiro points out that we're just ending an administration of a guy who cozied up to Castro and cozied up to the Iranians with virtually nothing in return. Jim, last I heard, we had a pretty good trade relationship with the Taiwanese, and we're vowing to protect them if China ever tries to do anything hostile, yet somehow we can't talk on the phone.
Yeah, you know, Greg, this really struck me as one of those times where the news felt like it was in reruns. because I remember, and you and I are not unbelievably old crotchety men, despite what our critics might say, we can remember early 2001, early in the George W. Bush administration, China had forced down a U.S. surveillance plane, not a spy plane, a surveillance plane, and kept our pilots and the crew over there for about 10 or 11 days. They finally returned them. The U.S. had to offer this gracious, you know, appreciation for taking care of our pilots, which a lot of people thought was making, you know, saving face with China. But I remember at the time, you know, Bush had made comments about defending Taiwan, and Joe Biden was scoffing that, you know, oh, George W. Bush just ended the one China policy by accident, and you know, crazy warmonger George W. Bush is going to start a war with China. You know, you could argue about whether the George W. Bush administration's relationship with China was the best it could be, but it kind of feels like things have been on autopilot since they got most favored nation status back in the late 90s. I feel like I've heard all this before. Oh, my goodness. And my colleague Ian Tuttle, who sits in every now and then, points out, look, the one China policy has been this compromise we've had for several decades that kind of is designed to pretend we can't tell the difference between a free, democratic country like Taiwan that has always been an ally to us and is a major trade partner with us versus China, the country of Tiananmen Square and all kinds of political repression, human rights abuses and things like that. We're supposed to pretend that there's no difference there. I think it's a very strong argument to say that the one China policy is a compromise that has outlasted its usefulness, or at least represents us not living up to our values. Now, did any of this go through the mind of Donald Trump when he made this call and took this call from the Taiwanese president? That's debatable. If people want to say this is a consequential decision and we should, you know, think through every step, fine. But, you know, Greg, I don't know about you, on Twitter on Friday afternoon, it sounded like we were in war with China was imminent. And I heard people saying, oh, you know, this could end up costing millions of lives. And I'm, really? You think China's going to start hurling the nukes over a phone call? Are you kidding me? So I would just like to see the Trump critics keep some sense of proportion. And also, just you know, they're going to burn themselves up in the first 100 days at this rate. You know, guys, pace yourself. There's going to be a lot of outrages. And in fact, I'd even predict there's going to be a lot of outrages in our relationship with China over the next 4 years. So, guys, pace yourself. Calm down.
Yeah, they got to pace themselves. There's going to be plenty of legit things that Trump does that require this sort of analysis. This is not one of them. You got to pick and choose and use some intelligence along the way here. So, Jim, we should point out, if those who folks who read The Jolt today should know, that you're in New York doing some work with CNN, and you're joining us from a skyscraper that is playing Christmas carols, you tell me. So is Die Hard, what are we up to now, 6 in the works?
I would be perfectly happy to that. I like to think of our podcast today, Greg, as easily one of the best media products to ever come out of the Time Warner building. technically, or at least until the security guard kicks me out of the lobby for recording this.
Nice. All right. Well, Jim, as we record this, you just got off the air at CNN talking about fake news, because they never do any. Here's your story from the Morning Jolt today. Get ready for a week of fake news hysteria. Brace yourselves. In the coming days, we're going to hear a lot about how fake news is now a mortal threat to all Americans. This is from the NBC4 story here in Washington of a very frightening story over the weekend. A North Carolina man who sent customers and employees scrambling when he fired a gun inside a Northwest Washington pizzeria Sunday told police he went there to investigate a fictitious online conspiracy theory involving the restaurant and high-ranking Democrats. After his arrest, Mr. Welch told police he was there to investigate a fake news conspiracy theory known as Pizzagate involving the pizzeria in the 5,000 block of Connecticut Avenue Northwest. And so now, of course, we've got media, CNN, many others saying you got this fake news out there on the internet and it's dangerous because you're convincing people that it's true and then they're taking matters into their own hands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Jim, your line on CNN about Yosemite Sam is exactly what I was thinking about this guy who's supposedly investigating this and just walks in and starts shooting the place up. Fortunately, nobody's hurt. But your point in the Jolt today, I think, is the most important takeaway, is that once again, the media is looking for somebody else to blame rather than the crazy person who did the crazy thing.
Yeah, there's a long history of this. You can go back to the Oklahoma City bombing, which President Clinton at the time was very quick to blame on talk radio. The Columbine shooters, and oh, it had to be violent video games, it had to be violent movies. The Tucson shooting, which was done by a paranoid schizophrenic, meaning this is a guy who hears voices in his head. And yet Paul Krugman and other folks were convinced that, oh, this is all because of a map that was on the Facebook page of Sarah Palin. I don't like this trend when someone who seems to be pretty clearly at least psychologically imbalanced, or you know, to use a really much more technical term, Greg, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. we're just not going to understand the thinking of somebody who decides the best way to solve a problem is to go in and start shooting someplace. So the idea that, oh, well, the real issue was this thing they read on the internet. The real issue was this Flynn Jr. retweeting this message or something like that. I'm really skeptical of that thinking, because if he hadn't seen this particular thing that set him off, how do we know he wouldn't have decided to see something else that would have set him off? It seems to me this is an effort to start putting limitations on public discussion upon those of us who are not crazy. Again, our critics might disagree with this. But to say, well, you can't say that because it might set off some crazy person. But the thing is, we never know what's going to set off some crazy person. So there's really no point in us limiting what we say or watching what we say, or certain topics have to be off, you know, verboten. Now, I think fake news is nonsense. I think it's you could probably argue it's genuinely harmful to our public life and our political life and our political discussions. Lord knows I've spent enough time trying to persuade my parents that the email they got from Uncle Leo that's been forwarded 15 times. No, President Obama has not sold the state of Nebraska to the Chinese. you know, like I get the irritation with this, but I think because now we've seen a case in which one guy appears to have been set off by it, they want to turn into the scapegoat. And I just have this nagging feeling that we're just one or two more incidents away from somebody saying, well, okay, clearly this needs to be regulated. It's dangerous, and obviously we need some sort of government authority to determine what is fake news and what is real news, and to say what kind of news is publicly accepted and which one isn't. And it's a road we definitely do not want to go down.
Jim, I think discernment is probably the best way to discuss how people should responsibly go about these stories. If you think it's fake, either ignore it or mention that you think it's fake. And, you know, use your head and don't just try to assume that everything you read because you want it to be true, that it actually is. And the son of General Flynn probably should have used a little more discretion here. I think most of us agree with that. But before today, did you even know he had a son?
I was about to say, I only have, you know, the only time you hear about these people is when they do something controversial like this. I saw somebody saying, well, the Republicans are doing this. Michael Flynn Jr. is now, quote unquote, the Republicans. Do you notice how quickly the line gets blurred between, you know, or somebody says the Trump camp is pushing this theory. The Trump camp? Really? You know, I mean, we're now, how many degrees of separation do you need to be before your hands are clean from something like this? And I, I think this blurring of the lines is very deliberate by people who want to make it appear that many more people are involved in spreading these kinds of crazy, false, malicious rumors than they really are.
One of the fascinating things about Flynn during the campaign was that he was a Democrat, and that was one of the curious...
that didn't come up. Yeah, I mentioned that on air. By the way, let's point out, Greg, that since I've got another appearance on CNN, they never traffic in fake news, and they are one of the finest news organizations, at least until I finish my appearance this afternoon.
This disclaimer brought to you by Jim Garrity, copyright 2016. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, maybe, Jim, if there were just a way to... secure legitimate news, kind of like you can possibly secure your home. How's that as a transition to Simply Safe Home Security? This holiday season, check home security off your to-do list. It's always good to check those things off your to-do list. I'm always way behind. Protect your home with our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. Now is the perfect time. Simply Safe is having its biggest holiday sale ever. Right now, you can take a whopping $200 off Simply Safe's special holiday security package. What comes with that? Well, this award-winning alarm system has everything you need to protect your home. It's got an arsenal of 17 security sensors to secure every door and window in your house. There's a panic button, a blaring extra siren, and a wireless connection to authorities and police dispatch so your family, your home, and everything in it stays safe around the clock. That wireless connection means even if they cut your power, you're okay, and it's still working just fine. Usually, the alarm system is priced at $600. Now, just $400. It's the biggest deal in Simply Safe home security history. Plus, there's no long-term contract, no installation costs, and no hidden fees. So check it out now. Get your $200 off by going to simplysafe.com/ricochet right now. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. One more time, simplysafe.com/ricochet. Jim, on to our third crazy martini now, and it is now December 5th, which means 2 weeks from today, the electors will assemble at the Electoral College. It's not a university yet, it's just a college. They will meet to officially vote for the next president of the United States, and based on what we saw on Election Day, Donald Trump should be the next president of the United States. But, of course, Jill Stein is leading these recount efforts in Wisconsin, now Michigan, and to some extent Pennsylvania, although she's pretty much been stonewalled there. This is from Heavy.com. Wisconsin recount returns for day four show that Donald Trump has continued to inch ahead of Hillary Clinton, gaining just over 36 more net votes. The Election Commission does not add up recount returns when they come in, but rather places the raw numbers on a spreadsheet that includes each reporting municipality. Heavy has tallied the returns by county from the Election Commission's Day 4 spreadsheet. It is updated with more new returns each day. Details on gained and lost vote counts per county are listed later in the article. Basically, each major candidate is losing small numbers of votes here or there, but it's also gaining small number of votes in other places. So it's all basically a wash. Basically, Trump has gained a net of 110 votes. Hillary has gained a net of 71 votes. So Trump is plus 39, and he already started with a 22,000 vote lead. So, Jim, we'll see what happens here in the coming days. Obviously, the Michigan judge has ordered that this be done by December 13th. So that state is all taken care of by the time the electors meet. Wisconsin, you never know with these lawsuits and the hand counting around Madison. But so far, all these 42% of Hillary supporters, I think, in a YouGov dot poll, have decided that they think this is going to prove that Hillary actually won. If that's true, she's got a long way to go.
Yeah, we know this is going to be a phenomenal, colossal waste of time. All of the millions of dollars that are being spent on this could have been spent. You know, think about how many hot meals for the homeless they could have bought this holiday season, Greg. Think about all the people, the victims of the Tennessee fires could have been helped. All the people who could have, you know, used that money for other useful purposes. No, no, no. We have to have civil servants working overtime in order to count all the votes, even though they've already been counted. And so far, and what we found in all of the hand recounts is pretty much in line with what was there before. The only way this would be more delicious, Greg, is if it ends up with Trump gaining votes, which is what has happened, at least in a couple of those counties up in Wisconsin. So that seems to be a little bit of a perfect poetic irony there. No, it's deeply frustrating. I think it says something about the psychology of the Democrats, that they believe that this is worthwhile, that they don't, you know, people argue, you know, when Trump's numbers didn't add up and things like that, the innumeracy of the American public is becoming a larger and larger concern. You could point to the debt as a reflection of this. You could point to all kinds of spending debates. But I think this one, where people don't realize just how many votes would need to flip and how unlikely you are to find 10,000 votes wrongly marked in one precinct or something like that, is exceptionally unlikely. In fact, if it did, we'd all of a sudden, everyone's begin suspecting foul play. So it's, you know, it's a frustrating, we have to go through this. I think it's an absolute utter defeat for common sense. But if it ends up with Trump winning more, then maybe Jill Stein will feel even more foolish for doing this. So that might be the silver lining to this colossal waste of time.
Hopefully it'll wrap up here within the next few days. But Jill Stein, perhaps trying to help her reputation with this, it's not going to do anything except hurt it even more.
Yeah, Jill Stein is the one woman in the world who doesn't want the 2016 election to end.
Jim, I think it was actually, I'm thinking of Die Hard with a Vengeance now, but as you're waiting for your next hit on CNN and you're just strolling around the lobby, if anyone tells you it's raining dogs and cats outside, take them down.
Be wary.
Take them down.
It will be yippee-ki-yay time, Greg.
Have a safe trip home. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And thanks again to our sponsor today, SimpliSafe Home Security. Get $200 off your home security system by going to simplisafe.com/ricochet. 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 Join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.